6 to 7 is the time this morning. The much talked about United Nations Climate Change Conference begins in Paris on Monday. And the overall aim is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and reduce global temperatures. The temperature increased by 2 degrees. And while we've heard a lot from politicians and environment groups about dealing with climate change, what is the role of business, the big business sector? Professor Christopher Wright is from the University of Sydney's Business School and the Sydney Environment Institute. Good morning.
Good morning, Robbie.
Yeah, what is the role of big corporations in all of this? Because they're obviously, I guess, involved in a lot of production of greenhouse gases, essentially.
Yes, exactly. I mean, corporations, large global corporations, play a variety of roles. One is obviously as producers of greenhouse gas emissions, as the sort of carotid arteries of our global economic system. Yeah. They also, however, on the other side, I guess, play a role as potential innovators and saviours in terms of mitigating and reducing our carbon emissions.
So where is the balance? Where are we at the moment with that, with those two different forces?
Well, I would suggest that there's a lot of rhetoric around the innovation and saviour line. But unfortunately, if we look at the data, our emissions keep tracking upwards. And so we have a disconnect between a sort of reality of business as usual and a rhetoric of trying to reverse the ship.
Okay, so there's a bit of marketing going on.
There's marketing, but there's also a lot of activity. I mean, a lot of big corporations are trying to improve their eco-efficiency. They're trying to green their supply chains. They're trying to find new green products and services and market themselves as green. So there's marketing there, but there's also tangible activity. Hmm. The problem is that we've got a sort of an atomistic response where individual organizations are trying to reduce their emissions, be a little less unsustainable, rather than sort of really be truly sustainable. So it's a systemic problem we have around global greenhouse gas emissions.
Well, what about in energy terms? You know, there's a lot of debate going on about how much focus and how much investment should go into renewable energies as opposed to old energies. I take it there's a lot of tension there.
There is, and you can see it in the political debate just here in Australia in the last few years around the renewable energy target. It's no doubt we need to ramp up renewable energy at sort of mass scale. And so targets that, say, the Greens have been talking around 90% by 2030 renewable energy, or ClimateWorks have been coming up with 50% renewable energy target by 2030, that's really probably what we need to be aiming for, not the sort of the small token amounts that are being debated politically.
So what are the big sectors that are doing a lot of work in this area and are actually succeeding?
Well, you see individual companies and individual CEOs being quite prominent. So Paul Polman, who's the CEO of Unilever, has been quite active in the public space, and they've been doing a lot of stuff around their supply chains, Walmart in the US. In Australia, there's the banks. Westpac, for instance, have been looking at pricing carbon internally in terms of their loans to other businesses. So there's a whole range of activities, but it's typically the sort of the larger leading-edge companies that are doing it, and the vast bulk of business is sort of trailing.
Yeah. We've obviously seen a lot of scepticism in the last decade and 2 decades as well. But I take it that am I right? Most big businesses are taking it a lot more seriously?
Yeah, I think if you speak to most senior people in large corporations, they've been pricing carbon intuitively for many years. They've been looking at risks around physical risk to infrastructure, regulatory risk around pricing carbon, reputational risk. So they see it in the language of risk and opportunity, and that's the way business frames this sort of issue. And there's been a lot of activity behind the political scenes, I guess, over the last 10, 20 years.
Okay, so what are we going to see on Monday and next week? These much anticipated discussions going on in Paris. How much of a role is big business going to play when really they have to be a part of the solution? How much of their representation is going to be there and be taken seriously?
Oh, I think they'll play a very major role. I mean, you can see already there's companies like Royal Dutch Shell, General Electric, BHP Billiton have been arguing for establishing committees to advise government on how to have both economic growth and reductions in emissions. And I think that's the general argument business will portray. It won't be a departure from business as usual.
Yeah. Are you optimistic about any of the outcomes for next week?
Optimistic in the sense that I hope we get some tangible movement towards reductions in emissions targets, but unfortunately, when we add up those intended contributions, they only, in best of all possible worlds, come to 2.7 degrees C. We need to get under 2 degrees C, and that's assuming a whole lot of technologies we don't currently have yet. So there's the realism I have around what the science is suggesting and where we're heading to. My hope is this is the start of a more general movement that will suddenly ramp up as the urgency of the issue becomes more apparent.
Okay, it's a pretty sobering view, I have to say. Hey, Christopher, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Professor Christopher Wright from the University of Sydney's Business School and the Sydney Environment Institute, and a little bit of an insight into some of these discussions that are going to be happening from Monday, the Paris talks, which are taking place, of course, and the role that big business, as it has to, will have in those talks and the outcomes for it as well.